Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death, jealousy is fierce as the grave. It flashes, its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, he would be utterly despised. Amen. Amen. So, just for the sake of visitors, we are going through Old Testament Essentials, and we are now studying the wisdom books of the Old Testament, and we've covered already three of them. And Song of Solomon, even though it's a poetry, I'll mention that, it's regarded as a book in the category of wisdom literature in the Old Testament. And I decided to split them because there was so much material in just one single chapter of Tremper Longman's book that I thought it would be more profitable if we split it into four meetings, okay? So here we go. Although written in as a lyric poetry, we include this book here on the principle that wisdom concerns God's guidance to life. The song, which speaks about sexuality can also be considered literature. It is likely that the book is a collection or an anthology of love poems. And I've been doing a little bit of research. You know, commentators go all over the place with regards of what to make about the structure, unity, and the flow of the book. Some will say that you have two characters. One is Solomon, the other one is the Shunammite woman. Others will say that you have three characters. You have Solomon, you have a shepherd, a young shepherd, and you have this woman, the shepherdess, the Shunammite. Some others will think, as Tremper Longman puts here, it seems to be a collection, an arrangement, a collection of various poems that were put together, so it's hard to see much of a structure, although there is clearly an intention to convey a particular message, as we have already mentioned. The poem should be enjoyed as poetry that expresses emotions and uses exciting and often provocative imagery. And I'm glad we have no children here tonight. The primary theme of the book is simply the celebration of sexuality. Let's read chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 5, verse 1, okay? And we'll do it the usual way. I read one verse, you respond, and we go verse by verse until we get to chapter 5, verse 1. All right? So I'll start the reading, and we'll do it together, okay? I read one verse, you respond, reading the following. Chapter 4. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats leaping down the slopes of Gilead.
Your teeth are like a flock of shorn
Your lips are like a scarlet thread, and your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like halves of a pomegranate behind your veil.
Your neck is like the Tower of David, built in rows of stone. One in time, a thousand shields all around it. Your arms are like shields of warriors.
Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, that gaze among the lilies. You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you.
Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Depart from the deep of Manana, from the deep of Sinner and Hermon, from the dens of lions, from the mountains of leopards.
You have captivated my heart, my sister, my bride. You have captivated my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace.
How beautiful is your love, my sister,
Your lips drip nectar, my bride. Honey and milk are under your tongue. The fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. Your shoots are an orchard of pomegranates, with all choicest fruits, henna with nard.
Nard and saffron, almonds and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all choice spices.
A garden fountain, a well of living water, and flowing streams from Lebanon. Yeah. I came to my garden, my sister, my bride. I gathered my myrrh with my spice. I ate my honeycomb with my honey, honey. I drank with wine with my milk. Yeah. I think, you know, you are as puzzled as I am when I first read this. Actually, the whole of the book, trying to find the spiritual lesson behind all this imagery. But you have to ask yourself the question, is the author's intention to give you that, you know, straight, ethereal, spiritual lesson behind all these imageries? And some of the imagery language of the Song of Solomon is very vivid, and sometimes too vivid for our Western Christendom taste, I'd say. But let's go through this bit here, because this bit that we read, it illustrates well this theme here, because it is a celebration of sexuality. Here, the man praises the woman's beauty as he describes her from head down. After describing her eyes, hair, teeth, lips, cheeks, necks, and breasts, he eventually waxes eloquently about her garden in verses 12 to 15. There's a mention of her garden and how her garden is well secluded but also open to the man. The garden is exotic, with rare and costly spices, in the middle of which is a fountain. This image is seen elsewhere in ancient Near Eastern love poetry and refers to the most private and erotic part of a woman's body. In short, this poem is a prelude to lovemaking. The next poem starts in verse 2, chapter 5, all the way to verse 3, chapter 6. And we are going to read it again. Okay? Same way. I'll start with verse 2. I slept, but my heart was awake, a sound. My beloved is knocking. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is wet with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. My beloved put his hand to the latch, and my heart was thrilled within me.
I arose to open to my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers dripping with myrrh on the handles of gold.
I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had turned and gone. My soul failed me when he spoke. I sought him, but found him not. I called him, but he gave no answer.
The watchman found me.
I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him, I am sick with love. My beloved is radiant and ruddy, distinguished among 10,000.
His head is the finest gold, his locks are
His eyes are like doves beside streams of water, bathed in milk, sitting beside a full pool.
His cheeks are like beds of spices, mounds of sweet smelling herbs. His lips are lilies, dripping liquid myrrh.
His arms are rods of gold set with jewels. His body is polished ivory, bedecked with sapphires.
His legs are alabaster columns, set on bases of gold. His appearance is like Lebanon, choice as a cedar.
His mouth is most sweet, and he is altogether desirable. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem.
Where is my beloved?
My beloved has gone down to his garden, to the beds of spices, to graze in the gardens and to gather lilies.
I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He grazes among the lilies. He lives.
So this poem speaks to another theme, the fact that intimacy is not easily achieved. The basic point throughout the passage is that when the man is ready for intimacy, she is not, and when she is ready, he isn't. The poem ends with the anticipation that they will eventually be reunited in the garden, verses 2 and 3 of chapter 6. So you have a primary goal here, celebration of sexuality as God's gift to humanity. Second, you have a celebration of committed sexuality, that intimacy that is allowed in the context of commitment, and you have to work hard for that. Third, in the context of the Bible as a whole, the song is about the redemption of sexuality. The song describes a man and a woman in the garden, naked and feeling no shame. Have you ever heard that story before? At least they are not ashamed most of the time. In spite of sin, an intimate relationship between a man and a woman is still possible. And therefore, under the blessings of God, nothing to be ashamed of. So first, sexuality to be celebrated. It's God's gift. Second, committed sexuality that you have to work hard for. Third, the redemption of sexuality. Despite sin, it's still possible to enjoy the blessedness of that gift, of that divine gift to humanity. Finally, we can speak of another important theological dimension to this poem, to this human love poem. Throughout the Bible, God's relationship with his people is likened to a marriage. So, famous book in the Old Testament is the book of Hosea, because he was ordered to marry a woman, and there is a story of betrayal, and how God, therefore, he uses that picture to see, to present to the people of Israel what Israel is doing in terms of spiritual adultery in regards to that relationship. In the same vein, you see that in Ezekiel. Ezekiel will use that same imagery in chapter 16 and 23. But let's have a look at Jeremiah 2, verses 2 and 3. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 2 and verse 3, page 626. Jeremiah 2, verse 2. And verse 3, it says, sorry, 627. Where you just see the page there. Okay. So the prophet writes, "Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride. how you followed me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who ate of it incurred guilt. Disaster came upon them, declares the Lord. Even though you can see an element of mixed feeling here in this passage, you see a positive approach, how things were good in the beginning of that relationship. Jeremiah 2, verses 2 and 3 speaks of how Israel was a bride who was eager to please God. The point is that as we read through the song and reflect on the exclusive, passionate, intimate nature of the relationship between the man and the woman, we're also learning something about an important dimension of our relationship with God. I think this is the briefest of all, because I've just come to the end, but I hope we have, you know, questions that might help enhance your understanding or your perception of this particular book in the wisdom literature. So, any questions or comments for that matter?